Got a Bible with you, Psalm 107. I don't know about you, but every so often you do a reading, a daily reading, or just generally you pick up your Bible and you read through it, and there are moments when a certain piece of scripture lifts off the page and it hits you right between the eyes, and it speaks to your circumstances and your experiences. And part of this psalm is one of those for Rhoda and myself this week. So I'm going to just speak briefly on it. I'm not going to diverge much from the psalm itself. A lot of times scripture says more than you could ever say around it. So let's begin at the beginning and then we'll come to the portion that I want to focus upon. I'll give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons because they rebelled against the word of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their hearts with labour. They fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and out of the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquity, were afflicted. Their souls abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they seek the works of the Lord. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to heavens and go down to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. He calms the storm, so that its waves are still, and they are glad because they are quiet. So he guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into wilderness and water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land to water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield the fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease when they are diminished and brought low. Through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock, The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. There's a lot in there, and I'm not going to cover it all, but I want to focus in on this. A recurring theme, which you will no doubt have noticed, is poetry, and so it gives a repetition of a particular line where it talks about, where it says, "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivers them out of their distress." And then he talks about, "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord," and so forth. It's there, and repeated several times throughout there. A lot of these examples it gives us are about problems and distress and difficulties. A number of times they're the fault of the individual to get themselves into that place in the first place. Others are the circumstances of life, and really that's the bit I want to focus on this morning. Let me just find where the beginning is. Verse 23. "Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord." Now, I'm not like Keith. He loves ships and going out in the sea and all this sailing stuff. Me, no, thank you. I'd rather go the quick way. I remember years ago we went to a conference. Used to go to a conference regularly in Holland, and we tried all manner of ways of getting there to avoid the longest sea, to avoid the sea routes and get the quickest way. And we found the perfect way, which was a hovercraft, which would take, then days you could take your car on a hovercraft, take you half an hour to France. And it would, you could drive through France, through to Belgium, into Holland in a quicker time than the Hook of Holland ferry would have taken. You'd beat it by 6 hours. So that was the way we did it, which was great until we came back. It was a storm. There was wind and rain, and there was the wind that was the main thing. It was really pushed. All hovercrafts have been cancelled. And we thought, oh no, it means they transferred us to a booking on a ship which took an hour and a half to get across. It should have been an hour, but because of the weather, it was going to take an hour and a half. I thought, oh no, we're in for a rough hour and a half here. And the ship was sort of angled all the way across, wasn't it? It was sort of leaning to one side, listing. Well, I don't know if it was port or starboard. It was certainly listing with that. And I thought, oh, I wish we could have gone on a quick hovercraft. Wouldn't that have been better? Until I saw the hovercraft. They let the first one go. And we had a friend who was coming back that he was on that. And this thing, it was going boom, boom, all over the place, and they've got like a skirt around the edges of a hovercraft suit, and this was lifting up and it was going and making all sorts of weird noises up and down and right across. And I said, I'm glad we're not on the hovercraft. My friend who's on it said that all the cars were shifting about and moving, and he's on a motorbike, he'd gone through there and his bike was going all. He said, if for the first 10 minutes, you sort of fooled yourself, oh, it's just like Alton Towers. But after that, it was a very different picture. He said it was absolutely horrendous and he felt so, so sick. I don't like the sea. I say all that, why? I like to see it. I don't mind watching a storm. I think it's quite fascinating, so long as you're not too close to get hit by it. But to see it going and see it hitting the cliffs and rising way up, it's fascinating. But to be on a boat, no thank you. Yet there are so many. For centuries and thousands of years, people have gone out to the sea in ships and flimsy little vessels at that. And he's referring, he said, they go down to the sea in ships who do business on great waters. It's a great way of commerce. And it tells us those that do that cannot deny the works of God. The wonders of God that you see when you're out there, apparently, because I don't go and do it, but some things from the show. We went on a whale watch. I did that. The creatures are out there, absolutely amazing what they're there and what is there, and the way it is, and even the weather and the way it acts. It's one, and because his wonders in the deep, God's wonders. You can't deny it. It's absolutely astounding. It says, for he, that He is a capital H, for it's him, the Lord, commands and raises the stormy wind. It's all under God's control, which we see ultimately when Jesus commands the waves to be still, which lifts the waves of the sea. Now, this, I like this. It's quite nicely written, this by. They mount up into the heavens. So the waves of waves is going way up to the heavens and go down to the depths. So he's going up as high as you can think, then comes whacking back down. Can you imagine being on a ship that's going through waves? Like maybe you've been on it. Oh, I don't envy you that if you have. It says, their soul melts because of trouble. Have you read the account of Paul the Apostle as he's traveling and on one of his, I think he was being taken to Rome at the time, and he has lots of storms and shipwrecks and different things, but he tells them, don't go from the port here, you're going to be in disaster. But they go anyway because they see the weather's changed nicely for them, and off they go and they hit this storm and they start to, you know, brave it out for a bit. Then after a day or so, they're looking a bit worse for wear. And by the final part of the storm, it says they threw away the ship's tackle, the things that make it work, with their own hands. It was that bad to try and stay afloat. They were actually chucking the necessities of the ship's workings to try and survive. It was that desperate. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men. You ever try to walk on? If you've really got a ship that's moving about, very, very difficult. They're at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distress. There's times in life you go through the storm. And it might be nothing of your doing. It might be just the circumstances, the way things are. Things are hard. Things don't go straightforwardly. Real problems, real troubles. But it tells us, though there be troubles, God answers our prayers. Even in the midst of deepest trouble, he answers our prayers. He rescues them, it says. Not from them, but out of them. It's not this false Christianity that says you'll never have any troubles and never. I don't see that. My Bible tells me you will have blessings and persecution. It tells us like this is telling us from the Old Testament. He brings us out of our troubles. But it doesn't just stop there. He brings them out of their distress. You know what it's like to be distressed. We all do. And how weary at heart and soul we can be when we really do have those times. It tells us he calms the storm. But sometimes, I don't know, there's been times in life where things have been a battle and they stop. But it doesn't feel like in my mind that they stopped. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're still expecting the same trouble, the same difficulty to come again. And it takes a while, even though the waves are still, it takes us a while to realize we're sort of still moving with the ship that's not moving, with the storm that's not there. He calms the storm. The waves are still. And we start to realize that now we've come through that difficult, difficult time. But it doesn't stop at that point. It says, then they are glad because they are quiet, which I am every time we go through a difficulty. It's great to get to that realization the storm is over. God has brought us through, and that's what you do have to recognize, that God has brought us through the storm and brought us to that place of stillness and of peace, a place of quiet, it says. Because when you're in trouble, it's clamor in your brain, isn't it? Rhoda describes it like a pinball machine. No consolidation of thought, but ping from one thing to the next, tick, 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 flippers knocking the balls around all over the place and being a trouble to our mind. He says, but then they are glad because of the quiet. It settles. It comes to that place of realization. And the final bit, which is sort of adding beauty to the beauty of it all, it says, so he guides them, which is nice, but he says, to their desired haven. He just doesn't leave you to float about. All right, it's done. There you go. Get on with it. But he says he guides us to our desired haven. Takes us to the place where we desire to go. That's really lovely, that. Because storms have a tendency to knock you out of your right course. Do they not? To shift you. To put you in a different place. The place where you're trying to make heaven your home, I trust. You're aiming for that harbour, as it were. And we get blown about by the storms of life. And we find ourselves, we're miles away from where we should have been. And the storms have caused this. The storms can cause us to make wrong decisions, to have wrong perspective. But he stills the waves, and we could start to see, actually, this is not the vision I need. This is not the place I should be. But he doesn't just leave you to it. He guides you to that desired haven. What a beautiful picture of our God. What a beautiful understanding, a beautiful reference when you are going through it, to remind yourself, God, each one, wasn't it? Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. They cried out. We cry out to him, and we can trust that he answers, even when it's our own fault. He gives us examples in there of that as well, doesn't it? So I'm going to leave that there and leave it with you. So let's pray this morning.